Good morning, everyone. This is the 20th Lord's Day, Catechism 2021. I'm going to pray. We'll get right into it, transitioning today into the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving us through the work of Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of prayer, where we could come into your presence through faith in the name of Jesus. Bless us this morning by your word and spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we've talked about God the Father. We've talked about God the Son. Today we transition Lord's Day number 20, talking about God the Holy Spirit. And remember, whether we're talking about the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, we are focusing on what God has done to save us from our sin, to give us hope in the face of death. God reconciling us, even though we're sinners, reconciling us by his grace to himself to have a relationship with him, planned by the Father, accomplished by the Son, and then brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord's Day number 20, question 53, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? And again, I say something to this effect each week. If you're new and you're seeing the Holy Spirit in quotation marks, the reason is we're going through the Apostles' Creed, looking at the different phrases in the Creed. And so whatever phrase we're isolating in a question or a study, we put that in quotation marks. Okay, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Two things there. The Spirit is a person. That's why it's called he, not it. The Spirit is not an impersonal force of God. The Spirit is not just God exerting his power on earth. The Spirit is the way God exerts his power on earth, but that is not an impersonal force. It is a person of the Trinity. He, as well as the Father and Son, is eternal God. That's the second thing. The Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is God. Second, he has been given to me personally so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Now you have the personal and practical application. If you've come to Christ by faith, you have the Holy Spirit. You have been changed by the Holy Spirit. You have been made the possession of God by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is your possession. It works both ways. It's relational. So the Spirit has been given to you personally. The Spirit is personal. It's one of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. But then you as a person have been changed by and now possess the Holy Spirit in your heart so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. And so this is the way you share in Christ, is by virtue of Christ's Holy Spirit living within you. And he comforts you. He brings you a divine comfort, a supernatural comfort in the face of all your sorrows, all your struggles, all your sins, all your sufferings. He brings you comfort, an otherworldly comfort, and remains with you forever. The guarantee of the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit will not depart from you. He remains with you forever. What I'd like to do is read our memory verse for this week, and then look at one cross-reference on the Holy Spirit, and we'll be through. Commit to heart Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. A few things here. This verse is ripe for terrific time and devotions and Bible study. If you were to read the context, draw out the applications for yourself, look at cross-references. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is contrasting two ways of living. Excuse me. Either living in the flesh or in the Spirit. You, Christian, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Flesh is referring to the sinful nature, the natural sinful impulses of man. to be in the flesh is to still be living according to the sinful nature as a slave to sin. But if you're in the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. You're driven and guided by the Holy Spirit, not your own sinful flesh. The believer still has sin, but is living in the Spirit. He's grieved by sin. He turns from that sin. He asks for forgiveness for that sin. He looks to Christ for salvation and forgiveness and trusts in Christ for deliverance from that sin. But he's not driven and guided by sin. He's driven and guided by the Holy Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Last thing on this, and we'll go to that cross reference. Notice two phrases. First, Spirit of God. Second, Spirit of Christ. It's the same Holy Spirit given to us by God. How is the Holy Spirit given to us by God? Through Christ. Through Christ. Christ is the one who receives the full blessing of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. You'll see exactly what I mean and how that happens. Christ came to do all the work of salvation. He fulfilled the law, which means he obeyed God perfectly in every way. He died a substitute's death on a cross, receiving the just penalty for the sin of others, not for his own sin. He died, he was buried, he was risen, and he was ascended into heaven. He received the blessing, the promised blessing of the Holy Spirit. And now, from that point on, he is the one who gives the Holy Spirit and pours out the Holy Spirit to all who come to him in faith. So Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ is two different ways of referring to the Holy Spirit that dwells within the Christian. One Holy Spirit from God, given through Christ to every single person who looks to Christ in faith. I promised you a cross reference. Let me call it up here. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Obviously, that's talking about Christ's crucifixion, Christ the sin bearer, Christ bearing the wrath of God, the curse of the law, right? The penalty that the law demanded, Christ bore. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, dying in our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. But then he says something else in verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. But what is the blessing of Abraham? Well, one aspect of it that's emphasized and should be emphasized is justification by faith. Abraham believed the promise of God and was therefore justified in God's eyes. He was justified by faith. But another aspect to it that goes right along with that. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. We are justified by faith. Praise the Lord. That means we're declared righteous in God's eyes. But we also receive the promised Spirit through faith. We receive the promised Spirit through faith. You can see the two primary or two central aspects of being saved, or of salvation rather, when we are united to Jesus through faith. One, we're forgiven of our sins, that's being justified. And two, we are also sanctified. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are changed to a new self, a self that's not driven and guided and led and enslaved to the flesh, but one that's driven and guided by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for dying for our sins on the cross. We praise you. We worship you. We remember you. And we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we lift this prayer. Amen. Thanks again for joining me. Join me tomorrow, Monday, for Confession of Faith 2021. Obviously, it'll be week 20, and then I'll see you next week on the 21st, Lord's Day. God bless you.